45, Richard Fallon, oh God. I wonder what's happened to him now.
So, anyway, I was just about to go and do my weekly surgery for constituents, which I have to say I was not looking forward to. I mean, who would? Since the expenses scandal, we're just punch bags, really. Well, at least I am. Anybody, anywhere, who has made any money at all by whatever means, they don't seem to count footballers, though, should have it confiscated in the interests of fairness, because if we're all in this together, how come I never see you down the pound shop? That's more or less what they're telling me. And these are the ones with jobs. They're much more self-righteous than the unemployed, I find. Actually, I did try going to the pound shop, and in fact, it's not that bad. But there's only so many turkey basters you need as a single man. And last week, I almost shouted at one woman who was sneerily going on about how I had no idea my life had clearly been one long red carpet caviar fest. I wanted to say, OK, as my life's so marvellous, would you mind living it for me? Please, feel free to have a go at being routinely abused by people who've spent so much time lying on the sofa they now share its DNA, at locking the weekly shop away from your adolescent son who's the size of Derbyshire, and opening the mail every other morning, fully expecting to find a piece of excrement in at least one envelope.
Is that still...
Yes, there was another one yesterday. And do you know what? Do you know who I think is responsible?
I don't know.
Piers.
Piers?
Yes, Piers, my PR person, whom I fired.
You think Piers is responsible for...
Ah, yes, because, you see, when I told him about receiving the offending package, he didn't say, heavens, how disgusting, or anything like that. He actually laughed. Well, it was more of a snigger than a laugh, I suppose, and he didn't sound remotely surprised. And that was the odd thing. And this last lot was postmarked N19, and Piers lives in Tufnell Park, so obviously it's him.
N19's quite a large postcode.
Is it? Oh, I don't know. What can I do about it anyway? I was thinking of getting a dog who can sniff out offending mail before I open it, but they're not allowed under the terms of the lease. I mean, I could train Toby up, I suppose. He can sniff food out at 100 paces, so, you know, I'd probably be done for child abuse, though, knowing my luck. I've joined a book group. Did I tell you that?
No, but, well, that's a positive step.
I thought it might be a good way to, you know, meet someone. A woman. A woman who isn't a lap dancer with a hotline to the tabloids. The problem, though, is you have to read all these books.
Yes, well, that's a thing with book groups, isn't it?
Last week, I had to try and skim-read Life and Fate. Have you seen the size of it? I gave up after about 20 pages. I'm depressed enough as it is without ploughing through that. Masterpiece, though, it no doubt is. What is it with the Russians? It's all war and death and eating the dog in sub-zero temperatures. Not a laugh in it anywhere. Anyway, I went along to the group on Tuesday night and busked it. When I say busked it, I just kind of chipped in occasionally and said things about the melancholy vastness of the Russian steppes. I thought that was rather good, although it was all pretty much guesswork. It's probably not set on the steppes, but as I say, I haven't actually read it. I tried not to get bogged down into too much detail, but the great thing was I had my pick of the women because I was the only man there. They were all over me until they caught on that I didn't really know what I was talking about. One of them got quite picky about it. Anyway, as we all left, I did manage to ask one of them out. I didn't go for the pretty one because I didn't want to be too obvious. And also, she, the good-looking one, gave me a bit of a sneery look at one point, so I thought I'd steer clear. Basically, I went for the one who looked as if she might say yes.
And did she?
Well, of course, it was a disaster. Really, I don't know why I bother. It didn't start off too badly, although she had strange teeth and a very high-pitched voice, the sort that unsettles dogs. But at least she was under 50. Just. Lindy, she was called. She spent the entire evening talking about her ex-husband, who's a stunt driver or something. You know, he jumps out of helicopters and drives cars off bridges. Basically, she was telling me she used to be married to James Bond. And when the waiter came to take her order, she said, after scouring the menu for at least 20 minutes, "I'll have the plain green salad, no dressing, and some sparkling water. Actually, no, hold on, make that still." So, I said, trying to make a joke of what I now realise was some sort of eating disorder, I'll just have a plain white plate, no design, thank you. Well, I mean, the waiter laughed. Anyway, I then felt obliged to overorder for the sake of balance, and because I was embarrassed that my dining companion was tucking into what was essentially a huge pile of lawn clippings. I won't go into it in detail. Suffice to say that my supper involved, at one point, a whole sucking pig. And when the waiter, who I have to say was smirking by this point, brought it out, she screamed. Not the waiter, Lindy. Really loudly. So, you know, I was sitting there working my way through a farmyard and I was sitting opposite someone who was chewing the cud. I thought, Gordon Bennett, I'll never get through this. The evening, that is. I could manage the food all right, although obviously it would have been better if she hadn't been sitting there watching me in a rather appalled way like a judgmental calf. And then, on top of all this, there was something wrong with her hair. It sort of crackled with static electricity every time anyone walked past the table. It literally stood on end, as if she was plugged into the national grid. I'm serious. The sommelier got an electric shock when he took out his corkscrew, because, of course, I ordered a bottle of Chilean Merlot before I realised I was dining out with an electrified version of Mahatma Gandhi, and I had to drink the whole bottle myself. God, I needed it, though, just to get from one end of the date to the other. And do you know what she said at the end of it? Shall we do this again sometime? I mean, what? I was completely floored. And, of course, I was also rather drunk by this point. So I said, as I undid the top button of my bursting trousers, not bursting with desire, you understand, but because I shouldn't have eaten the sucking pig, I said, are you out of your mind? Anyway, I paid the bill and I said I was going for a pee and then I ran away. Well, it was more a stagger than a run, but I had a good 5 minutes on her, so she never caught up with me. Of course, I can't go back to the book group, but it's probably just as well. I'm quite a slow reader, really. I was always going to be out of sync.
Well, Richard, you know, I don't think it's all negative.
Don't you? What are the positive aspects of my life, then?
What do you think they are?
I can't think of any. My wife went away to a spa the other weekend and she asked me to house sit to keep an eye on Charlotte in case she had a Facebook party and burnt the place down. I had to take Toby with me, who loved it, of course, because his mother doesn't have a padlock on the fridge. Anyway, I peeped in on Charlotte, she's 17 now, who was sitting on the living room sofa with her boyfriend. They were just sitting there, holding hands, gazing at each other with this zen-like but bursting intensity. I mean, it wasn't a single note. It was a whole symphony. It was full and overflowing with all the certainties and hopes and possibilities of youth. And sex, I could see that. And they were barely touching each other. And I went into the kitchen and poured myself a drink. And I started to cry. I remembered that feeling. I remembered that look. I don't think that's why I was crying. I think it was more complicated than that. It's just so fleeting, isn't it? Life. It's just a scamper through, really, from one side of the stage to the other. Darkness in both wings. And to be young and not know that. That's what I was weeping for, I suppose. Does that make any sense? I remembered looking at a girl just like that, with just that certainty, just that intensity and hope and desire. Felicity Montgomery, she was called. I met her at sixth form college after my parents had removed me from Dotheboys Hall and I'd stopped being fat. I think she did actually love me. She looked like a 9-year-old boy. She had this dark, cropped, rumpled hair. Of course, in retrospect, she looked exactly like all the boys I'd had crushes on at my previous school, but, you know, there weren't any girls there and romantically we had to make the most of what we had. Anyway, eventually, Felicity and I went off to different universities, sort of drifted apart. Then one day, in my third year, I thought, I think I'll write to her. you know, see how she's doing. People used to write letters then, do you remember? Anyway, to cut a long story short, she'd been run over by a car the week before, and she was dead.
That must have been very distressing for you.
Things happened in a quieter way then, didn't they? Now it would have been all over Facebook, and there'd have been candlelit vigils and flowers tied to lampposts and cuddly toys, all that kind of thing. Then there was nothing. She just died. I prefer that, really. It's harsher, which is as it should be. You can't unharsh death with a soft toy, can you? I drove past one of those improvised memorials the other day, and someone had left a blow-up Christmas reindeer. I've no idea why I brought any of this up. Have you?
Do you
know what I love about you?
When you say love...
That's what I mean. Love. As in, I love you.
Well, Richard...
I love you because you're the only woman, apart from Felicity Montgomery, who's ever listened to me. I mean, really listened.
That's my job. That's what you pay me for, Richard. To listen to you.
I know, but there's something more going on. It's more complicated than that, isn't it?
I'm not sure what you mean, Richard.
I realised when I was sitting in my kitchen, or rather what used to be my kitchen but is now my ex-wife's, that you have to seize the moment because life is so very short. And I didn't quite know what I meant at the time, but now I do. Martha, I'm in love with you. And I know these feelings are reciprocated. I mean, I was worried at first, but now I'm sure. I mean, this isn't a sudden thing, is it? It's been growing for quite a long time, and I think the time has come.
Richard, what you're feeling is part of the process of therapy.
No, it's love.
No, it's not. It feels like love, but it isn't.
But if it feels like love, if it looks like love, surely...
I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week.
But... you're in love with me, aren't you?
No, Richard, I'm not.
Oh. I was so sure.
Do you want to take a tissue?
Thank you.
We'll talk about this next week, Richard.
Sorry, I really thought... okay. Bye. See you next week, then.